Mystic Dan, though. Mystic Dan, like, Mystic. he might, like, I don't know.
You know why they didn't name him Lieutenant Dan?
He got the legs. He's going.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Interest the greater good. We need to smoke a joint and calm down.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Ville Chillin' Podcast. Today, we are excited to finally start the 7 days of Derby. Not 2 days, not 3 days, like, you know, the Derby, the Oaks, and the Derby. The 7 days of Derby is what we got coming.
Seven times?
Seven. You got to have two hands to be able to count that.
I'm not a mathematician, dude, but I think it's like a week, dude. That's a long time, so I'm down.
It is. And we are starting off with a quick history of the Derby and then maybe some of the experiences or how much it might cost you to experience the Derby live, which...
A lot more than it used to be.
Yeah, it's a bit. But... it's an important part of our history. It's crazy. And if you couldn't tell by the title, it's one of the oldest, not just sports events in the state, but, you know, it literally predates the state of Kentucky, which I didn't know that.
I didn't either. It was, I guess, like a few years, like after the Derby, like a few years later, Kentucky became a state, like actually into the Union.
Yeah. It wasn't too long, but who knows? It might have been part of the reason Kentucky became a state, man. Yep. Who knows?
Start from the Derby, now we hear.
Yes. So one thing is most sports fans are probably familiar with the Derby in some sense, because I'm sure it, you know, gets showed on ESPN and stuff every year, and it's been called the most exciting or the fastest 2 minutes in sports. So it's definitely earned its place in history. And it actually started in 1872. A grandson of William Clark of the Lewis and Clark Expedition, Meriwether Lewis Clark Jr., traveled to England visiting Epsom in Surrey, where the Derby had been running annually since 1780 in Surrey. From there, he went to Paris, where there was more racing and a jockey club, and he ended up coming back to Louisville and founding the Derby. You know, he wanted to start a race. The Kentucky Derby actually started as a 1.5 mile race, which was the same distance as the Epsom Derby, before the links change in 1896. So the first Derby actually ran in 1875. He went to England and saw some races in 1872, came back in 1875, and then just over 20 years later, they updated the distance to where it's 1.25 miles instead of 1.5. I don't know what that quarter mile difference is, unless they're going against cars, because, I mean, cars run a quarter mile at a time. But, hey, who knows?
That makes sense.
So the first Derby was May 17th, 1875, in front of an estimated crowd of 10,000 people, which for the time, that's pretty reason. That's pretty admirable. That's a crowd.
That was probably everyone in Kentucky at that time.
It's true. A field of 15 3-year-old horses contested the first Derby. And the Hall of Famer, Ansel Williamson was the trainer of the first winner, a colt named Aristides, jockeyed by Oliver Lewis. They won the inaugural Derby, and then later that year, they won second place in the Belmont Stakes. And that's pretty important because the Belmont Stakes is a little bit older than the Derby. And then the Preakness Stakes is actually even older, I think. And those are the other two horse races that make up the Triple Crown. So it starts at the Kentucky Derby, and then they go to the Preakness Stakes, and then they go to the Belmont Stakes. And they offer the three largest purses in horse racing, which is why it's considered the Triple Crown.
Three times.
And there's not too many people who have won the Triple Crown. And actually, when it started, it wasn't even called the Triple Crown. The first time, in 1919, it was the first time somebody won all three races, and it was Sir Barton, was the first horse. But the Triple Crown didn't come into use for another 11 years, when in 1930, Gallant Fox became the second horse to win all three races, and a sports writer, Charles Hatton, brought the phrase into American usage. So it just tells you like how important the Kentucky Derby has been for horse racing since its inception in 1875.
Yeah, definitely. And even to go further, like we were kind of joking about it earlier, saying that Kentucky wouldn't exist without it, but without the Derby. But the founders of it, or at least Churchill Downs, were the descendants of Lewis and Clark.
Lewis, yeah.
I mean, in a lot of Kentucky, you know, that was established was, you know,
it was all part of that expedition. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really cool. It kind of does go full circle.
Yeah. It's wild. And I mean, even then, like you want to talk, like, yeah, we joke about Kentucky wouldn't be here, but you know, the Derby brings in so much revenue for the state, for the city, and everything else. You know, like, most people know Kentucky for college basketball and the Derby. You know what I'm saying? Right. And that's
in
it.
Bourbon. Yeah.
In bourbon, yeah.
Which there's a lot of that during the Derby. So
there's a whole lot of that. We'll get into that later in the week.
Foreshadowing. And you were saying there's only been a few, you know, at that point, like earlier in those years, there was only a couple of those Triple Crowns. That was before they had the horse steroids, you know. So like, there's a lot more of those now.
Which we'll talk more about that later this week. Yeah. Yes, man, it's really important, and like I said, it's a lot to go through. You know, the whole history of it. I'm sure there's more than we could ever cover, but the fact that it is that old and that rooted in Kentucky's history, with prominent figures such as, you know, the grandson of Clark from the Lewis and Clark expedition, that's just really fascinating to me, you know. And of course, over the years, we've evolved the Derby itself even more. You have the running of the Oaks, which is the fillies, the females, and now you have Thurby, whatever that is. We'll find that out later this week too. But it's just really cool to me. It's, you know, since we've been doing this, we've learned so much about the city and the things that happen and everything, but this is one of the most important to me. It's literally the oldest thing we've talked about, you know, other than maybe Old Louisville from last week, but
right. Yeah, there's really, I mean, well, no, not even that, because, like, I mean, you know, this is something that happened, you know, predates Kentucky.
That's true, yeah. Thing, like, Old Louisville wouldn't even have existed then. Yeah,
so
I don't know what
I don't think there's anything else that we could ever talk about that's going to, you know, have this much history. You know,
other than Lewis and Clark themselves.
One day, yeah. We can definitely, yeah, that's actually a good idea. We'll touch on that one. Again, foreshadowing.
But, yeah, it's wild. It's wild. And considering most people don't really think about this when they think Kentucky, that's what we hope to solve here. You know what I'm saying? One of the most famous horses to run the Kentucky Derby was Secretariat, who broke the 1973, they set the fastest time ever at a minute 59 seconds, just over a minute 59 seconds, broke the record set by Northern Dancer in 1964. And also during that race, he did something unique in Triple Crown races. For each successive quarter run, his time was faster. Although the races do not record times for non-winners, in 1973, Sham finished second, 2.5 lengths behind Secretariat in the same race. That's impressive. And I mean, for each successive quarter, his times were faster. Like, that's a horse that was still gaining momentum when he crossed the finish line.
He was holding back, dude.
Like, man. And that was 1973, so I don't think they were giving horses steroids back then.
Nah, dude. They were all natural, dude. Like, Livestrong. Pre-Livestrong. Lance. Sorry.
Man, in 2019, they started offering $3 million in purse money. That's a lot. That's a lot of money. $3 million in purse money in 2019.
Pre-COVID money, dude? That's like...
Barely pre-COVID. It was right before COVID.
Oh. How many... Like, you could have bought like twice as many houses between then and a couple years later.
The Derby first offered a $1 million purse in 1996, went to $2 million in 2005, and then in 2019 it went up to $3 million. Of course, nothing, you know, speaking of COVID, nothing like really beat COVID. The Derby ended up being postponed instead of being May 2nd. In 2020, it was ran in September. But it's important to note that the Derby has ran consistently since 1875. That's a long time.
Yeah, I don't think there's any... Is there any other, like, major sport, you know, that's had that long of a run?
Other than those two,
you know, horse races?
Well, even then, like, we'd have to look into it more, but maybe they didn't do it every year. Maybe they had reasons they couldn't do it some years. But I know we've... The Kentucky Derby has been ran consistently, and they make time for it every single year, one time or another.
I said, we're going to figure it out.
Millions of people from around the world bet at various live tracks and online sports books. In 2017, a crowd of 158,000 watched Always Dreaming win the Derby, making it the seventh biggest attendance in the history of the racetrack. 158,000, and it's the seventh biggest attendance in the racetrack. That's crazy. Crazy.
Dude, those bets too, dude. They're just now making it to where it's like, I guess, a little bit more accessible to where like you can do it on your phone or whatever instead of like call in or.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier for people to actually participate and have more stakes in the Derby than just watching it. Yes. You know,
so it adds more, you know, to the revenue definitely with those trades and those bets or whatever being like placed quicker. Dude, my mom's like she'd be calling them like it'd be like back then it was like called TVG.
Yeah.
And she would call them and she'd be like pissed if like she'd over here have like a plan. She's like, I'm going to bet on these three, do the trifecta. Like she'd do all like this math stuff to try to come up with a profit or something. Like, and it worked. Like she was like magic with it or whatever. But she'd get super pissed if the call didn't go through. Like, cause you know, you have such a limit and there'd be a wait. And she's like, waiting for it. And then like wouldn't get the bet in. And then her like, fucking cost me $1,000, man. Like, she'd be pissed.
I would be too. That's why I don't gamble,
dude. Yeah, well, now they got it like now, like it's instant. It's just, so yeah, like
technology. Yeah. Oh man. So one thing that I find interesting about this year is, I mean, I think that's, we pretty much covered most of the history. There's a lot to it, of course. There's a lot of culture stuff involved. If you see the Wikipedia, there's a lot of things going on that we kind of want to touch on later. But I do find interesting the Grand Marshals, which it looks like it's a tradition that just started in 2012, which is interesting because they've had Grand Marshals for the Pegasus Parade for a long time, and that's who we talked about, you know, a couple weeks ago. And so it's interesting to me that they didn't start doing Grand Marshals for the Derby until like 2012 with John Calipari. But even then, I mean, there's names here that you might know, of course. You know, got Jack Harlow back in 2022 and then Martha Stewart this year. I think it's interesting, but it does speak to the fact that celebrities from all walks come into Louisville for the Derby.
Well, my question is why John Calipari or whatever, why was he the Grand Marshal the year that Louisville won?
It's the
championship.
It's the Kentucky Derby, and right or wrong,
Rick Pitino, like what? Like Rick Pitino was putting in work that year. Like he was doing a lot of
things. Well, Rick Pitino also used to coach at Kentucky, I think. But anyways, right or wrong, a lot of the state bleeds blue. Okay, we know they're wrong. Blood is red. We all know that. But a lot of the state as a whole, they bleed blue.
Man, they was throwing shots.
Right or wrong?
They was throwing shots. You know that, dude. There ain't no... Dude, that's like getting like that's like proposing during someone's wedding.
I wonder if any couches burned in 2012.
Dude, win or lose, you know they burning couches. That's all they do over there. That fucking blue. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, we gotta keep on the derby.
So there's also been some pretty notable national anthem performers over the years. You had Rascal Flatts, Mary J. Blige, Martina McBride, Josh Groban, Lady Antebellum, the Pentatonix. That one's interesting to me. I almost want to watch that performance. Winona Judd is performing this year. So pretty, you know,
so it's like
stacked lineup for singing the national anthem.
It's like it's like CMT and Mary J. Blige. Like that's
and Pentatonix. I don't think they were on CMT.
What is that? Is that like EDM?
Not really
at all.
It kind of, but it's a pop style thing. They're cool.
That's new country.
Oh man. Anyways, so we talked about it earlier. Secretariat set the record for speed in 1973. The largest margin of victory is 8 lengths, a feat tied by 4 different horses. 8 horse lengths, man. Old Rosebud in 1914, Johnstown in 1939, Whirlaway in 1941, and Assault in 1946. 8 lengths, that's a big victory.
Dude, everybody, all the other horses were just like watching. They were like, dude, it's cool. You got this, bro. There's wars going on right now. Like, yeah. We ain't worried about this.
Go for it. And they're going to take you to the front lines.
Right. We ain't racing that.
The highest odds of a winning horse were 91-1 back in 1913 for Donnerail. The second highest was in 2022 when Rich Strike went off at 80-1 and won the race. And 3 horses have won the Kentucky Derby without competing as a 2-year-old. Apollo in 1882, Justify in 2018, and Mage 2023. That's pretty crazy because they have to be 3 years old to compete in the Kentucky Derby. So for having never competed as a 2-year-old, they just started competing and then they win the Derby.
Well, that'd be like the equivalent of like, you know, like if you're a wrestler and you're starting now like at 35 at like DDP and then you become champion.
Like, exactly.
For reference for any of my wrestling fans out there.
Exactly, exactly. So 107 jockeys have won the Kentucky Derby with 27 winning multiple times. There's several names here, but it's pretty insane, like seeing how some of these win multiple times. Some of them have 5 wins. And then you got the trainers. 116 trainers have won, with 19 doing so multiple times. 6 trainers have won the Derby in back-to-back years. And then you have some that have even gone on. You know, there's, of course, several that have won the Triple Crown, which is crazy. Bob Baffert's one of them. I think he's in a little bit of hot water right now, but maybe we'll talk about that later this week, too.
Allegedly.
Exactly. 17 owners have won the Kentucky Derby multiple times with horses they fully or partially owned. So that's kind of interesting. 17 owners, but 116 trainers and 107 jockeys. So you got jockeys like training multiple horses in the Derby, or you got trainers training multiple horses that the jockeys ride. And then the owners, I guess they just own them all. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Jockeys, trainers, and owners competing in the Kentucky Derby often will compete in the Oaks race as well for fillies held the day before. And winning both of the races in the same year is referred to as an Oaks Derby double. And only 7 jockeys, 3 trainers, and 4 owners have accomplished that.
So it's called an Oaks Derby Oaks Derby double.
Yeah.
That's like 2 times. That means you...
Yep. You win the Oaks and the Derby. And 7 jockeys, 3 trainers, 4 owners. So, pretty interesting. So, yeah, the Triple Crown winners, there's been several. I think it's interesting to kind of look at those two. Of course, it has its own Wikipedia page. So, Sir Barton in 1919, of course, was the first. And then American Pharoah was a big one back in 2015. And then most recently, Justify in 2018, our Triple Crown winners. Both of those last ones were trained by Bob Baffert. So,
two times.
Yeah. That's just amazing to me, you know, because like a lot of sports teams can't even win back to back. And then you got horses winning three times, three races. That's some notable and, you know, some very athletic horses. But yeah, so that's about as far as we really want to go into the history, I think, today. But as far as the Derby itself, if you're interested in watching the Derby, if you plan on showing up to the Derby, it's going to cost you. So the bare minimum tickets that we just saw was, I think, $130.
Just get in the door.
That's not even right. Yeah, that's infield tickets just for the Derby day, not Oaks. You're not trying to get both days, just for Derby day. Okay, and it's just not going to go. But they have a lot of different, of course, experiences, as they call it. As you have, you have all the different areas you can sit. You have all the suites. You have all of the you know, the Millionaire's Row, called such for a reason. And it's kind of crazy how expensive some of these are. So, like, the new paddock seating, $693 to start. Reserved seats, $650. Dining starts at $1,300. Private suites, $135,000, man. Yeah, this says standing room only. Wow. And general admission starts at $275. I don't think that was right when we actually looked at the tickets a little bit ago.
Well, I don't know. I guess infield's always been, like, cheaper.
Yeah, so infield, general admission. And that might also be the two-day package.
Okay,
that makes sense. Because we looked at just the Derby.
But yeah, from my understanding, dude, infield used to pay, like, a lot cheaper. That was just where you'd go and just party.
Yeah, that's...
like $10.
Right,
I was younger back then. Like, I never went.
I'm not seeing a price here. I don't know why it won't scroll. But either way, it's not a cheap experience. Because, of course, when you're there, you're going to have drinks. Everybody dresses up, so you're probably spending money on clothes. You know, you're going to eat. It's it's not a cheap experience, but, you know, it's a very historic one. And, of course, it brings our city and our state so much money because of that. So, catch 22, I guess, but I still fully support it. It's kind of a necessary. I mean, could you imagine not our city and state not having the money that it does bring in?
Oh, dude, then we'd be like Indiana.
Yeah, so definitely if you're wanting to come to the Derby in person, start buying your tickets now because they're selling up quick, especially for the infield. And it gets a little bit pricey after that. But, man, it is a spectacle in sports. So, I think that's all that I have to bring up, man. Oh, no. One more thing. Who do you got for the Derby?
Oh, number seven.
Number seven. Endlessly.
Yeah.
Looking at the list, you know, catching Endlessly. Freedom's pretty cool. Stopping.
He's winning.
He's not stopping. We'll see. Catching Freedom's pretty cool. We are the United States of America. But I think resilience rings true. I think resilience is going to take it. That's what I'm going for. So you got your Villain ENT Derby predictions here.
Yep. Number seven, dude. What was it? Wait,
Endlessly.
Endlessly. He ain't, yeah, never ending, dude. Keep on going, dude. He's going to win, and he's just going to, like, he's going to lap him, bro. I don't know if that's ever happened, but.
No, that's not going to happen, but especially because resilience is going to win. But either way, there's 29 horses running. Let us know in the comments who you think is going to take it. It's there's some pretty awesome names here, as dude, there always is.
Mystic Dan, though. Mystic Dan, like, Mystic. Hey. He might, like, I don't know.
You know why they didn't name him Lieutenant Dan?
He got the legs. He's going.
Anyways, I think with that, I am done. You got anything to add?
Hey, we're ready. We're ready.
We're ready. Be on the lookout every day this week for the 7 days of Derby, and we will catch y'all tomorrow.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Interest of the greater good. We need to smoke a joint and calm down.
Fallen ace to prove that I'm great. And if you keep talking, guys, I'm going to tell you the facts.